want you to turn to Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to talk about faith's rest tonight. Amen. And we've already been talking about that. But we're going to go into it a little bit more, and that's what's been in my spirit. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Consider. And let's look at that word consider. What does that mean? To fix one's eyes or mind upon. So we're supposed to consider Jesus, who is the high priest. Amen?
Amen.
What else do we consider? Well, there's another scripture that we could read there, and we'll talk about that. What else can we consider? Well, in Hebrews 10, verse 19, Hebrews 10, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another. So we're supposed to consider Jesus, our high priest, but we're also supposed to consider one another. Well, why? Well, it goes on to tell us, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works.
Amen.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
Amen. So we are supposed to consider Jesus, our high priest, but we're supposed to consider being around other believers. And we're supposed to consider constantly learning or renewing our minds and developing our hearts with the Word of God. And we can get into fear. We can get out of faith's rest. You know, you may say, well, I'm not even into rest yet to get out of it. But you can get out of rest and get into fear if you're sitting at home, always listening to the news, not having God's word continually before you. Or say this, some people have contacted us and they've been listening to this person on TV or this minister, and they're just, they've got so many voices going on that sometimes they can get confused. And we just encourage people, just come to church.
Amen.
Just come to church. Amen. So consider the high priest of what? Our confession?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Where are we going? What are we saying? But consider ourselves and stir up love and good works toward the brethren. So therefore, let's go on. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. So Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house, for this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house is more honor than the house. For every house is built by somebody, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, or that is a godly hope, an expectancy firm to the end. So I think that most of us at one time or another have gotten in faith and have believed that you've received God's power, his healing, his financial blessing. If you haven't, I'm here to tell you that we can go to God. We can go to the throne of grace. We can ask him and say, Father, I need something. And he hears us when we pray. And when we go our way thanking him and then keeping our minds stayed on his word, getting around other believers, amen, stirring ourselves up with good works and love toward the brethren. And what are we hearing? Where are we going on a daily basis? Are we glorifying God in our talk? Are we glorifying God in our actions so that condemnation doesn't take hold? And if condemnation does take hold, then we simply get on our knees and say, Father, I'm sorry. And then we get back into rest. We get back into rest. That's what we have to do, and that's how we have to live. It's that simple. I don't really have a deep gospel for you tonight. I just have a simple message that we can go to the Father, and he is a giver of good things. He's a giver of good gifts. And if we've missed it, we just come to him and we obtain mercy from his throne. Amen. And if we'll just get quiet, we get into his word and we just get quiet, like we just talked about in the offering, he'll show us any spiritual or natural thing that we need to know. And that's the rest of faith. And I tell you what, and some people could take this wrong, but we can get into rest so much to the point where even if we were to die and go on to be with Jesus, we're going to be far better anyway. So why should I sit around and worry about dying? Why should I sit at my home with a mask on 24/7 and afraid? Now, not everybody does that, okay? That's a little bit of a pun. I understand that. If you want to wear a mask to Walmart and all that, that's all great and that's all fine. But why should I be in fear? Amen? If the doctor has diagnosed something, should I be in fear? The opposite of that is faith. If I go to my Father and say, Lord, your word says this, and you are not a respecter of persons, it's not based on where I've missed it, it's not based on me being perfect, it's based on what Jesus did on the cross. Now, Lord, if I know that I've missed it in an area, I just lay that down, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your help. But now I just go my way, whistling a tune, rejoicing in you that it's turning around and that I have the strength to live a profitable Christian life that will give you glory and will further the kingdom of God. And rather than sitting around worrying about what our bodies are telling us, rather than looking at taking our blood pressure, you know, nonstop, taking our temperature nonstop, rather than constantly Googling all the symptoms that we're dealing with, been there, done that, had the t-shirt, amen? Because that's what the natural man wants to do. But there comes a time, emaso combreto, there comes a time, that you have to turn to him and his grace and his great ability to turn around those symptoms by the power that lives within. If you come to me, to my throne, and say, Father, I ask you to minister to me, would I give you a serpent? Would I turn you away? No, I say that I would certainly turn it around for you that very day. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we go our way thanking God that his power is working in us, his wisdom is working in us. Whatever we need, spiritually, naturally, it's working in us. Amen. And we don't get our minds off of what if, but we just endure. We rejoice. We enjoy life. We get out and soak in some sunshine. Like a day like today. I just went out on the porch and I was doing some study and I just kind of wanted to stay out there. I went back inside, but I just needed a little bit of sunshine. Amen. And sometimes, you know, in the midst of the winter, you just got to stir up the sunshine. Resting in him. Not looking at the problems. Not looking at what other people are saying around you. Not looking at the symptoms of your body to the place to where you're scared, you're afraid. Amen. Because I tell you what, if I were to go to meet Jesus right now, I'd be happy. Amen. But I'm not going anywhere because I've got the plan of God to fulfill. And that's what you've got to tell the devil. You can't keep me in symptoms, Mr. Devil. You can't keep me in oppression, Mr. Devil. You can't keep me distracted. And what we have to do is simply get down on our knees and say, Father, I can do better. I thank you for it. I thank you for your strength. Just get up. Just get up and do better. Amen. By his grace. Amen. So, praise the Lord, that was all free. Deuteronomy 28, we've read this many times, but it bears many repeatings. Deuteronomy 28, 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. There are times when I don't feel like abundance is all around me. But I just start stirring myself up. And I start thanking God for what he's already done. And I start thanking God for the joy of the Lord that is my strength. And I start thanking God that my body is healed. And every single day I speak to my body. Every single morning that I go in to get my breakfast, usually when I wake up it happens. But when I go in to get my breakfast, I thank God that the power of God is working in me mightily, affecting a healing and a cure, driving out sickness and disease, driving out any symptoms that I may be dealing with. And I thank him that my food is working for my body, that my vitamins are working for my body. I thank him that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will be sad and cry and grovel. No, I will rejoice. And I will be glad in it. Not be sad in it. And there have been times, you know, we were at an event the other day where it required a mask. And so we had our mask on. And you can't always see whether somebody's smiling or not. You can't always see. But you can see it in their eyes. Have you noticed that you get a picture? The minute you look at their eyes, you can see a smile. And some of us had this. We were doing this. It meant we were smiling. This meant we're rejoicing. Amen. But if you look in somebody's eyes, you know that they're rejoicing. You can get a picture because you know that person and you know where they... Have you ever noticed that? You look in their eyes and you can tell they're happy. And I met one person's eyes and I could tell they're sad. There's issues going on. The only thing is, and I'm not putting them down, my heart goes out. I've seen that for some years with that particular person. And I would like to turn it around for them, but I can't. And, you know, I didn't do the little thing like that. I just kind of caught their eyes, but I could tell it. And if they only understood, if they only recognized that if they would get up in the morning and do what that scripture says and just rejoice for the abundance of what they do have. If they would rejoice and thank God, then things would begin to turn around. They would begin to feel the happiness. But if you're not rejoicing, you're going to get stale. If you're not getting up and stirring up the love and the good works, calling people and saying, hey, what can I do for you today? Rather than, hey, come over here and help me. But if you are stirring up the love, stirring up the good works, rejoicing in the Lord for the abundance of all things, you're going to have a paradigm shift. And you're going to start noticing that the grace of God within is starting to work in areas Wow, it's starting to change. And you're going to get answers. And if you follow the Holy Ghost in those answers, it will turn around. Because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. Amen. In Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me." Are you burdened? Have you been feeling laborious? Nobody's wanting to point fingers at anybody because we've all been there, done that. But we've got to stir it up. And Jesus says, "Come to me." How do we come to him? We follow the author and the finish of our faith, the high priest of our confession. So the main thing that we need to do is start saying, start rejoicing, start thanking God that it's turned around. And I would say that we need to make some natural changes at times too. I mean, there have been times I just had to get out of bed and start acting like I'm healed and whole. Amen. My mom's probably watching a live stream tonight. And she gets up and she gets dressed in the morning no matter what she feels like. And somebody might come to the door. I need to be up and dressed and ready to go. Well, I believe that's her faith. I mean, she could not be feeling well that day, and she gets up and gets dressed and ready, and I hear the hairspray, shh, and I see the cloud coming. I know mom's up and around. And I get up and have some coffee with mama. Amen? The reason I'm talking about that, I'll be with her next week for about 4 days, and then after that I'm flying out to World Harvest to teach at the Bible school. So I may not be here for a few weeks, but Pastor Jay will be back. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I always look forward to that. I'm going to go help her with a few things next week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come to me, all you who labor. She usually ends up helping me, though. Praise the Lord. We love our family, don't we? But I tell you, we love the family of God. And we love coming to church, and we love stirring one another up with love and good works. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I wrote this down. The yoke that they were bearing was not working. It sounds like they were building the house on their own efforts, not their faith. Jesus said, "Take my yoke." In other words, it was their yoke first. They had to replace the yoke of a burden, the yoke of depression, the yoke of sickness, the yoke of feeling bad, the yoke of fear. Whatever it was, they had to replace that with Jesus' yoke of the blessing. What a wonderful yoke, amen, of the grace of God that works on our behalf because we're a child beloved by the Father. That's our yoke, amen? So you're not the devil's pack mule, but you're God's racehorse. And we've got to stop getting up in the morning and allowing the devil to pack on us like a mule. Amen? Well, in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep." Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Pastor Jay made this statement: "The weaker that your spirit is, the less it is contributing to and allowing the power of the Spirit to work for and bring strength in your life. If your mind is not working right, then you will just start working harder in the flesh. So we will begin to rely on our efforts of the flesh more and more." Now, I was talking to a friend of mine. You're familiar with Kate McVeigh. We talked for about 2 hours last night, and we were laughing back and forth. She's the one friend that I could truly just laugh with and have a, you know, because I don't spend a lot of time on the phone, to be honest with you, other than with my staff or, you know, sometimes when I'm calling congregation members or what have you. But not most of my friends I meet up at meetings. But Kate and I she's the one person I can talk to on the phone for a couple hours at a time. And we were talking, we can just catch up, even if we haven't talked for 6 months or a year. We were laughing, and Dad Hagen had made a statement, one pastor antiqued himself out of the ministry. Antiqued himself out of the ministry. In other words, he liked antiques so much that he started antiquing so much that he started liking that more than being in the ministry. And that'll get you in trouble with God, you know. And I was laughing with her, and I said, I know I had to be careful not to vitamin myself out of the ministry. In other words, there's periods of time where you got to study on things and what have you. But it's like, I just want to get back to the Word and all of it, you know what I mean? There are natural things we have to do, but let's not trade it in for the plan of God. Don't antique yourself out of the ministry. One thing that Dr. Dufresne used to say to us all the time is ministers have to be careful not to get bored. And I would say it to every Christian. You have to be careful not to get bored, but then you get distracted, right? But if, and I was telling Kate, I said, isn't it wonderful that when we do, when we do start getting distracted, when we get back in the Word and we truly put our mind on the Word, how much we fall in love with Jesus all the more. And I'm telling you here today, if you'll get up and just take time with Him, just start taking consistent time with Him, antiques will have no contest. Natural things will have no contest. There are certain things I like to do. I actually like to antique. We have a lot of antiques. We have a lot. But anyway, moving right along. And I like to study on certain things, you understand. But nothing competes with God's Word. And when it starts competing, that's when I'm getting my eyes off onto the wrong things. And that's when I have to get before the Lord and say, okay, Father, I'm allowing this to become bigger than what your Word is, and therefore things are getting in. Amen? So just start taking time with Him. Start praying in the Holy Ghost when you have an opportunity in the car, when you're traveling back and forth. Just start worshiping the Lord, even psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, on the way here, because frankly, I was studying today, and then we had a situation with the daycare that I had to send a letter out to one of the parents, and I had to spend a couple hours on that this afternoon, and I was not a happy camper about that, because I take it very seriously when I'm going to minister the Word of God. But there was in no way to get around that. I felt like I needed to get it done. We had to deal with some things this week, and that's all good and fine. But anyway, so I had to do that, but I stirred myself up and I began to thank God that His Word is first. And I began to, and thank you, Lord, for boldness and utterance tonight. And so there are natural things that we are going to have to take care of, and we can't just back out of life. You can't just tell your boss, I can't come to work today. I've been getting low in the Word. Can't come to work today. I don't think that's going to go over so big. And if He's a good boss, He'll remind you that you have the morning, the evening, and all in between. Amen? So you need to do your job, right? But what you can do is during your breaks. You know, I used to take Dad Hagen's little mini books. We're talking about resting the rest of faith tonight. I used to take Dad Hagen's, and I was only 18, 19 years old at the time. I'd take him to work, and I would have my 10-minute break in the morning, and then I had my lunchtime, and I would go park, and I would read those, and Dad Hagen had a radio broadcast back at that time. I'd turn that on at 12 o'clock. I'd try to arrange my lunch around that, and I'll tell you what, it helped to feed me in my day. And then, like I said, on my way here, I just didn't spend as much time as what I wanted today. It wasn't my choice. But anyway, and you know, God's faithful. He'll help us. So I just started singing a little song. Thank you, Lord, for your rest. Thank you, Lord, I'm standing in your best. Thank you, Lord, I'm filled, I'm free. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, I am healed. Thank you, Lord, I am filled. Oh, you're so good. You're so good to me. Thank you, Lord, I turn fear away. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in this day. Thank you, Lord, I will go your way no matter what distraction. Oh, thank you, Lord, I am free. Thank you, Lord, I am filled. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness unto me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I don't know if that's the exact words, but I was just singing out of my heart. Amen. And as we begin to do that, we can stay in faith's rest. Because the devil will try to tell us, well, you know, hey, there's just several things he'll try to tell us, but we don't need to go over that tonight. Amen? Because we're emphasizing what God's word is saying, not what the devil says. Well, praise the Lord. I want you to go to verse 12 there. Verse 12, Hebrews 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What does that mean, an evil heart? It means a heart that is blind or influenced by evil, which indicates degeneracy from original virtue, culpable, i.e. derelict. Wow. In other words, are we being derelict in our duties to build the fruit of the Spirit in our life? Are we being derelict in our duties? Are we putting God first, seeking first the kingdom of God and his ways? Therefore, all of these things, what do you mean all of these things? Well, one of them is peace, rest, joy. These things will rise up within us when we're putting God first and when we are constantly confessing who we are in Christ. No matter what we feel like, no matter what it looks like, no matter if nobody else in my home wants to go to church, I'm going to do it. Because I know I'm stirring up the love and I'm stirring up the good works. And it's helping me. And the grace of God. And we have so many testimonies of people that have been, you know, struck with symptoms or something like that. But they just stuck with it. They just endured in the midst. And here they are. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's go on to chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Is this all right? Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, let us be on guard. He's not talking about a fear that negates faith. He's talking about keeping our guard that we don't allow the enemy to get in. So let's keep our guard up and let's show reverential fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. There's a little song that I came up with years ago, and it goes like this. We always triumph in you, Lord. We always triumph in you. We've won the fight through Jesus Christ, and we're resting in the finished work you have provided, Lord. We're resting in the finished work you have done, and we always triumph in you.
always triumph in you, Lord. We always triumph in you. We're resting in the finished work you have provided, Lord. We are resting in the finished work you have done, and we always triumph in you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Always. We're resting in the finished work. Life is laborious when we're not using our faith, but when we are in faith, we are propelled by His grace. This is the rest of faith, a moving of the power of God that is not full of labor and toil. Isaiah 28:11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, He will speak to this people, to whom He said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. With stammering lips. In other words, when we pray in other tongues, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we get refreshed. And we rest in Him. And where we were weary, He lifts us up into His peace because we are filled with the peace and the joy of the Lord. Amen. That takes us above, seated in the heavenly places with Him, above everything that would try to come and knock us down. We are above it. Why? Because we're praying in tongues. And we just begin to get lifted up in our spirit to the place to where we're no longer looking at the problem, but we're looking to our spirit. And that's why we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, in Christ, realities are what's on our mind.
Yes.
And what's in our heart, building us up. And when we don't live that way from day to day, then things will get in. That's how sometimes sickness and disease can get in and take us out. I'm not putting anybody down. Been there, done that. But can we get back up? Are we able to walk in His overcoming power? Or will we be taken out from these things? We have to have our guard up. We have to be praying in tongues. We have to be looking to His word and getting strengthened and seated above in Christ realities, renewing our minds and developing our hearts on a daily basis, and never forgetting to stir up the love and the good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together with the believers. Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be what? Be healed.
Amen.
Strengthen the hands. Are you feeling weary? Are you feeling burdened? Are you, you know, it's not about the feelings. It's about what we do to turn it around. It's about us just starting to get up and speak God's word. And if we have to, start dancing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
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 I went through a period of about, I think it was 6 months or so, where I was dealing with some symptoms. And I would get up in the middle of night and for about 10 minutes. And I just purposed in my heart. And I would just dance. It's the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to sleep, but my sleep was disturbed because of the symptoms, so I might as well get up and do something anyway. And I was groggy, so you don't want to picture it. Maybe it wasn't so pretty, but I got up in the middle of the night, and I just began to thank you, Lord, I'm healed. And I wasn't trying to get it. I was stating what I knew in my spirit had already taken place. And I was thanking God. And I reminded the devil, Mr. Devil, I'm healed. I'm whole. And I would just do a jig. You know, and I did it I did it quiet because there was, I remember we were in Russia and I was dealing with those symptoms. I would get up just about every night, thanking God. Then I'd get up and go to the meetings. Nobody knew what I was dealing with. I didn't even talk to my husband about it. Well, why not? Because I knew who I was in Christ. I'm not saying you can't talk about symptoms. You can't call us up or call Sister Ann up or one of the staff or ask a friend or a fellow believer. That's part of stirring up the good works. We help one another. But we don't sit around and just tell people so that we can grovel. Amen. But we thank God we're healed. We know it. Amen. It's in us. Amen. We've been in the Word. We've been praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if God is not a liar, it's working in me. Amen. He's not a liar. He's not a man that he would lie. And the power of God has got to knock that thing out, turn it around. And if there's anything I need to do, haven't been perfect all the time, how about you? But we thank God for His mercy. We thank Him for His grace. We thank you that we are able to get up every day and take our place. Amen. Pursue peace with all people. That means you got to come in contact with them. Just saying. That's what that scripture says. Pursue peace with all people, not just over the phone. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See, pastors need to remind the congregation of this, because if the mainstream media and other people got their way, i.e. the devil, nobody would be going to church right now. And what would happen if people aren't going to church? They'd stop laying hands on the sick, which a lot of people are doing, or not doing, I should say. Not laying hands on the sick. I was talking with Kate about that. She went to one church. I don't need to mention who it was. And she was just led to lay hands on the sick. They didn't tell her she couldn't, so she started laying hands on people after a healing message. And people were falling, but none of the ushers were catching anybody. And she's like, what's going on? And somebody told her after the service, oh, they don't believe in that. They don't believe in falling under the power. So, okay. Well, I guess you better tell them that. Amen. Praise the Lord. A healing conference. No, not that one. Not that. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm talking about, you know, recently somebody had a healing conference. Do we lay hands on the sick or not? What do we do? Be healed. You know, that's fine. That's all good. But what did Jesus do? I don't know any time that Jesus had a quarantine from healing the sick in the scriptures. Now, I'm not telling you if the health department or the DHS or somebody tells you you have to quarantine that you had to be going to Walmart laying hands on everybody because, you know, you might get knocked out. I'm just saying. But Jesus didn't take a year off. Well, Pastor Debbie, that's just ridiculous. Okay. That's what my Bible says, and that's what I'm going to go by. I told Kate last night, I said, now, right after this started, I did the live stream, taught the healing class, and immediately God dealt with me to teach on laying hands on the sick. In other words, we have to remind people. I'm not getting anybody's Kool-Aid, you understand? I'm not trying to go home with you and tell you everything to do. I'm just saying, let's follow the Bible.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Let's follow. Yeah. Let's consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. What did he do? He went and healed the sick. He laid hands on the sick. They took hold of his garment. And the anointing broke the yoke of bondage. Well, praise the Lord. That was all free. I said that was all free. Amen. So let us be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful. Now, that's in verse 11 there. Let's go back to that. Chapter 4, verse 11 in Hebrews. Let us therefore be diligent. No efforts of the flesh. Amen. But spiritual efforts of using our faith gives us supernatural strength, and faith draws from peace and joy within. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, or the God of confident expectation, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be reading scriptures here, so you don't have to turn them all, but you can write them down. 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So you're not just speaking and rejoicing with your mouth, but you're expressing. Because you get, it's like we need a filling tank. We have a filling tank, so to speak, and we need to get gassed up. We need to go to the filling station. How do you gas yourself up? Pura dele masagada la brish de kida. Ha 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 ha. He 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 he. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with sadness and with the Holy Spirit. With joy and with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, where are those wells at? The Spirit of Christ lives inside of us. The grace of God lives inside of us. The glory lives inside of us. They're all synonymous terms. The joy, the peace, the love, the goodness, the blessedness, the gentleness, the kindness is all the fruit of the Spirit that comes from the Spirit of Christ living within us. And if we will stir up, stir it up, we are drawing from the wells of salvation.
Yeah.
And we start saying something. Lord, your word's true.
Yes.
My body's healed. My body's whole.
Yes.
And we start looking at his plan and his purpose.
Yes.
Rather than looking at all the symptoms and looking at all the things that are trying to get us down in our day. And watching the news and wanting to stay in the protection of our homes. I think I will. Come on now. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted. In other words, make a turn. That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Second Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not depression, not burdened down, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that doesn't happen on my couch at home watching live stream.
Yeah.
people on their couch at home watching live stream like Carlos tonight. Him, my husband. That it will work for. But they're not going to stay there. Actually, Pastor Jay, he stands. He doesn't sit. So he stands and he said, honey, you know, I want to go tonight, but I wouldn't, you know, I need to stand the whole service. And since you're preaching, I don't really want to just stand there when everybody else is sitting down. You understand? I said, honey, it's okay. It's okay. It's all good. So the anointing will work for us. When we are right with God.
Amen.
And we've got to be doing kingdom business. We've got to be around kingdom business. We've got to be about kingdom business. There have been many times I've been asked to go preach or minister or do something. And immediately the voice in my head was, you better not do that. You've been dealing with this symptom. That's a good indication I'm going. Doing it. Because I remind the devil who's healed and who's bound. And that would be him being bound and me being healed. So maybe you've dealt with symptoms. Maybe you've dealt with depression. Maybe you've dealt with burdens. Maybe you've dealt. But my friend, let's turn it back around on the devil. And tell him we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Well, what if I go to church and cough? What if? Who gives a rip? I don't. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up? If we feel like we're going to cough, then cough. And then thank God you're healed. If you need to blow your nose, blow it the nose. And then thank God you're healed. If you need to pop a Tylenol, pop the Tylenol. And then thank God you're healed. But let's not live in fear. Let's not live in the land of gotta do, you gotta conform. We've got a plan to pursue. We've got a purpose. We have a divine purpose. Jesus is coming back and he will say, well and faithful servant. We're not a ragtag group here. We're a group that in the midst of whatever, we can get up, preach and teach the word, and thank God that we're healed. If we need mercy, we take hold of it. My Bible says that Paul said he was going bound to Jerusalem, bound in the spirit to Jerusalem. And he went before kings, and he went before Agrippa, and he went before others, and he was bound with chains. And then they were banked. They were trying to sail in the wintertime and get out before, and they were on this one particular island, and that's when Paul had told them, look, we shouldn't go, but they went anyway. And he said, but everybody's life will be saved if you just stay in the ship. And that's what they did. They stayed in the ship. And then the ship busted up on the bank, but they swam to the shore. And then people there on the island helped them, and they were at a fire. And Paul was getting some wood, and he put the wood in the fire, and a viper went and bit him. And they said, surely, the people there on the island, surely he's going, you know, he's done something wrong, and he's going to die. Because surely he's been sinning and he's going to die. And they watched him and nothing happened. Nothing happened other than I guess he drank his hot cocoa and ate his chicken. That's my version, all right? And they thought he was a god after that. No, it was God. It was the power of God. And he was jailed, and he was left for dead many times. Has that ever happened to you? Never happened to me either. But you know what? If it does, we're going to be ready.
Amen.
We'll be ready.
Amen.
We're not a ragtag group.
No.
We're not just going to sit home and be afraid. Now, if you're at home, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just saying the people that are here, I'm endeavoring to stir their faith up.
Yes.
And I would encourage you, come. Stir up the love and good works. Let's get skilled in what we need to do to not only live this life ourselves and have our redemptive rights and privileges work for us, but let's lay hands on the sick. Let's preach and teach the gospel. Let's take this gospel to the people that he tells us to. If God deals with us to pay somebody's rent, let's do what God's telling us to do and not be in fear. Well, that's all I had to say about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power of God that's working in us. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Jesus died on the cross for me to set me free. Jesus, you took my hand. Pulled me out. I thank you, Lord. That's what it's all about. I'm free. I am free. I am free. I lay down all the fear. Oh, your power is here, working in me. I'm free. I'm free. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what we've heard. It's working for me. Working for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I can do all things through see myself traveling, going overseas, and even singing because I'm free. Preaching your word because I've heard lives changed. Oh, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, for the plan, the purpose. Oh, we put a demand on your word. We thank you for what we've heard. We are free. Thank you, Lord. Start seeing yourself doing the plan of God and what you know. Start seeing yourself going out and preaching and teaching. Well, am I supposed to preach and teach? Yeah, we all are. We're supposed to exhort people about the Lord. We're supposed to follow the Holy Ghost and stir up the love and good works. So I trust that this message has stirred you up and helped you. Amen. And if you're not perfect, then join the group. But you know what? We're perfect in Him. So let's put His word first. Let's worship Him throughout our day. I've been consciously, sometimes you'll go hours at a time. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. But when you think about it, just do it. Not out of pressure necessarily, but just out of your spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to me. Why don't you just do that now? Thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good to me. You're so loving. You're so kind. You're so wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to me. Jan, can I give you a hug? Would that be okay? All right. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Let the power of God minister to you and keep you and show His love mightily in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard. Oh, thank you for your amazing word. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. So go your way, praising His name and saying, thank you, Lord, for your word, for what we've heard. I'm free. I'm free. We love you. Pastor Jay and I love you. And I like what Brother Randy Greer says. It's all going to be all right. It's all gonna be all right, Pastor Debbie. Gonna be all right, Miss Ann. Mr. Carlos is gonna be all right. Hallelujah. We love you. So just tell somebody it's gonna be all right. It'll be all right. Thank you all. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard. We go our way, bowling over your word. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. It's turning around for me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm free. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for what I've heard. Oh, amazing. Thank you, Lord, I'm free. I am free. Thank you.